is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and start, and if anybody shows up late, well, just do a recap. My name is Sharon Grout. I am a master gardener at Tuolumne County, in Tuolumne County, and I've been a master gardener for a while. And I became interested in adaptive gardening when I went to a Master Gardener conference in Long Beach in 2017, I believe. And I attended a session by a woman named Toni Gattone. And she has created a business around adaptive gardening. She is a Master Gardener as well. I don't remember where she lives. Somewhere in the Bay Area. Assuming the Bay Area stretches 200 miles north and 200 miles south, somewhere in there. And after listening to her presentation, I realized that a lot of what she said pertained to what I was going through. And I started getting more and more interested in it and doing research on things that I could do to make gardening a little bit easier as I aged. And I have been saying for at least 15 years now that sustainable gardening is what an 80-year-old woman can do. That is sustainability to me. As we age, our bodies let us know that certain things are going on. We may have balance impairment, slower reaction times, reduced vision and depth perception, limited mobility, decreased muscle strength, your grip, you may have noticed, chronic pain, or in my case, you may be a chronic pain to those around you. So we need to rethink how and when we garden. So you need to make a plan. Think about all the steps involved in what you're doing it. Make it work. Change it and adapt it as you go along. Don't just make a plan here and think it's going to work over here, because you're going to be changing all the way. And probably most important, make it easy. You don't want to create any huge hurdles. When you're 50, a 3-acre garden may sound like a great idea. When you're 75, not so good. You know, there's just a lot to take care of. You want to be safe. Try not to use ladders. A friend of mine who was, I have to think back, 95, was climbing a ladder to clean his gutters and fell off. He could have asked us, but he is too proud. He was used to giving help, not getting it. So ask for help. Use step stools instead. If something is too high, you can get one of those grabber sticks. Hire somebody. Prevail upon your neighbors, but don't try to do it yourself and cause yourself injury. That's not, at our age, we do not heal or bounce back from injuries the way we used to. Doesn't happen that way anymore. If you use a garage or a tool shed to store things in, make sure the floor is clear and you can walk through to what you need. Get things out of the way, because you, once again, using me as a bad example, you get in a hurry, you start heading for, you're focused on the tool, you're not focused on where your feet are and what they're doing. And it may not necessarily be level. There may be little mounds and things, so you need to check on that. And one of the most important things, before you get down on your knees or kneel, Think about how you're going to get back up. Before you get down there, plan out how you're going to do this. If you garden from a sitting position, such as with raised beds, make sure the surface is low enough that you don't have to raise your arms above your shoulders to get there, or that reaching, you can reach at least halfway across, or if you can't get around all four sides, make sure you can reach halfway across. That's very important, because if you move forward, you may kick your walker back or your wheelchair back, and when you go to sit down, it won't be where you think it is. Protect yourself from the sun. That's pretty obvious. Wear lightweight clothing, long sleeve shirt. As we get older, many of us take medications which make us more susceptible to the sun, more susceptible to the effects of too much sun. So we need to think about eye protection, wearing hats, sunscreen, if you can find like 10,000, that's a good idea, but if you can't get it that high, remember to reapply it at least every hour and a half if you're going to be out in the sun working longer than that, and you shouldn't be. That's the other thing to think about, the amount of time you spend gardening. Don't force yourself to do more than you feel comfortable with. There's always tomorrow. And you can do it. And keep drinking water so you can keep being hydrated. Once again, some medications may cause us to lose water. We may sweat more. You need to keep drinking water if you're going to be working outside. And know where you are. Once again, using me as a bad example, I was somewhere looking at something, not paying it, even though I knew this 4-inch raised platform was directly behind me. I was so busy looking at something else, and then I turned and took a step, and I couldn't because I was too busy falling. I just hadn't seen it or hadn't remembered it. So be aware of where you are and where your body and feet are. That is a huge thing. So be safe, be comfortable. Know your limits. Getting done, finishing a job is more important than being perfect. Know when to stop. Set yourself a goal. In my case, if I'm working outside, it's if I get 2 wheelbarrows done, that's it, I'm through. Even though I may feel like I can do one more, I have learned that one more is going to kill me. I'll start stumbling and I'll fall and I'll hurt myself. 2 wheelbarrows, or using one of these pop-ups, 2 of these and I'm finished. And the advantage of one of these pop-ups is that they're light and they're easier to move in some cases than a wheelbarrow. Once again, if you're using a walker or a wheelchair, if this gets through, you can lift this and put it on the walker and wheel it to wherever you need to dump it. You don't have to carry it. And that movement of carrying can be sometimes challenging as well. Wear knee pads or get one of these things, whose name I always forget, a bench, I guess. In this case, it's a kneeler, but it's got rails, handrails, so once I'm down, I can push myself up. But it's also a bench, and the same thing. I can sit on it and be comfortable if I'm working at that level, so I can last longer. But if you're using this, you may need to make sure that this is in a balanced position. You don't want it slanted side to side or back to front. Or you may have a lot more adventures that you plan to have that day. And I should say, I bought this when I started giving these talks and I didn't need to use it at all. And now I'm using it all the time. Garden early, garden late, not in the middle of the day, especially in the California foothills. Wearing the right foot gear. If you're wearing shoes, lace up the shoes, tie them, don't leave them loose. And avoid staying in one position too long. Switch tasks. If you're doing a lot of deadheading and you're using a lot of this activity, grasping, this can get very tiring and it can cause problems in your wrist. So every 30 minutes, switch to something else. Or just give yourself an iced tea break and sit down. If you're going to be bending, give yourself a break and start deadheading. Same thing, go back, bend, stretch, move around often so that you do all that. And coming out of winter, we all have the winter body where we're not doing all those gardening stretches and things that we do when we're working out in the garden. So it's a good idea to start doing certain exercises to build up the muscles that you use out in gardening, so that your first day gardening after winter is finally over, you will be in better shape than if you just go right out there. And up here, one of the handouts is a series of four exercises for things like raking or using a wheelbarrow or bending and crouching. So feel free to take those. And also think about the tools that you use. Tools can pinch or cut. Make sure that the tool is comfortable for you. And carrying heavy objects like water pots, watering pots, things like that, think about how you can do it in a more safe manner. Rather than dragging a 5/8 inch hose around, think about getting a lightweight hose, because dragging hose can create back and shoulder problems. Make sure all your handles and carrying straps are thick enough to provide you with a comfortable grip and are the right size. If you're not sure what the right size for you is, if you're buying tools, put your index finger and your thumb together like this. That's the size handle that you need. And that will work for you. If your handle is smaller than that, but you really like that tool, you know those swimming pool noodles? Mm-hmm. You can cut those out and use them. And it will also make the grip softer. So it works that way. And check your tools. Happened to me this morning when I was carrying this bag over here. One of the straps, I mean, I just used this 2 weeks ago, but one of the straps just tore on me. So check your tools to make sure they're in good operating order. Couldn't believe it. Broke right out in the parking lot. Okay, use it as an example of what not to do yet again. And wear gardening gloves. There are a lot of interesting microbes in the ground. And most of us will inevitably cut, slice ourselves, things like this. And wearing gardening gloves will protect from that. But more importantly, once again, using me as the bad example, I was deadheading some roses, and I was wearing rose gloves. They're the ones that are made out of leather and go up to your elbows. While I was holding the branch and I had the pruning shears in my right hand and I pruned my glove. because my depth perception was off just enough. So you're protecting from little accidents like that. I now have a new set of rose gloves. Lightweight tools, think about using things that can help you. And in my case, most of my tools I have either painted or duct tape or have purchased with handles so that I can find them in the garden. So they're yellow or they're orange or they're pink, so that I can see them. This is lightweight. This is also a free tool. But on the scoop blade, it has marked depths. So if I'm digging something, I can just use the tool so I don't have to move around and look for something else. It's kind of an all-in-one. If you are planting seeds and you're not using a raised bed, but just regular ground level, and you have trouble bending over, this kind of pipe, PVC pipe, which I had my husband cut at a diagonal so that you can dig down like this and just put a seed down it and then just keep moving on. You're not bending over, you're not on your knees, you can just walk down and do it. And this actually came from his throw-out pile in the garage, in which he almost threw out again like 4 months ago. It's like, no. So, really easy. A way of saving your back. And then there's, knee pads, saving your knees. You can either, in my case, I use both knee pads on the knees and a kneeling pad. And this is actually my sitting pad, because I can just sit on one and just scoot around everywhere, because sitting is easier for me than kneeling. So think about whether you want to kneel in a garden or sit, which is easier for you, both in getting down, moving around, and getting up again. The getting up part being the most important. And this is actually a plumber's kneeling pad. Because the ones that I found, that I saw in the gardening department, would last like 2 seconds outside. This one is thick. It can be beat up, as it has. It can be chewed on by dogs or raccoons, as the case may be. And it's still here.
Did you actually get it from the plumbing department of like maybe a store, or did you have to go online? Or
no, I went into a store and I asked where in the plumbing department. I said, where's the kneeling pads? And he showed me this. It's not soft.
Okay.
It's not as soft as the ones in the gardening department, but it just does a bit much better job, and it's larger, so that I can scoot around on all sides.
Mm-hmm. No, I like that.
I use a yoga mat.
Yeah.
Because they're big.
Yeah, and exactly.
Or you could cut it in half. And
yeah, there's all kinds of things saying, well, maybe this will work, or maybe I should think about this. And the other thing, for smaller people, is you don't have to use huge tools. Shovels with long handles. This actually had a larger blade at the beginning, and I had my husband cut it down so that when I was digging in, I was not lifting up 30 pounds of dirt. I'm only lifting, 5 pounds maybe. And that makes a difference. Rather than looking at what they have available, think about what you need to use or will use or can use. And in the case of a shovel, you want there to be a little lip at the top so that your foot sits on it when you press down, so it doesn't have that sharp edge. were kind of dull edge, but after a while it's sharp when you're pressing down. And this height, also with the D handle, it's something that I can do rather than having a long handle up here. If you do have tools with long handles, you can get D-ring appliances that you can attach to a shovel or a rake and put it on here. You can find those. And when you hold tools, hand tools especially, they need to keep your wrist in a neutral position. And this is a neutral position, just the way your hand naturally hangs with the thumb like this. You don't want a tool that forces you to torque it up or down, because that, once again, may cause carpal tunnel problems. So it's not easy to find this stuff, but you can if you know what you're looking for. In many cases, for me at least, looking for this stuff, looking up the information, I went online to various sites.
They also make hand pruners where one of the pieces rotates so that your hand doesn't
So it goes
to.
Like this.
Yeah, you just then it rotates as you're pulling. You have carpal tunnel or anything like that.
And change the way you look at your garden. Everything doesn't have to be perfect. If you tend to sit in one perfect, if you sit in one area most of the time, in my case, it's on my porch, in the shade, where the breeze comes through. And so that's the section of my garden I concentrate on, because that's what I see most of the time. And so if I'm sitting out there, I can enjoy this and ignore all the others that has the weeds showing up until I want to go around. Once again, as we age, we need to bring our vision in closer and think about what we can do rather than what we should do. Just, you know, change your focus, and that way you can actually enjoy your garden. If you have someone with mobility problems and you want to develop a garden for that person, you need to think about is the side, the pathways. I was talking to Diane and Fran today, and pathways should be firm. They shouldn't be loose rock. They shouldn't be bricks, which can go up and down as roots invade. They need to be, unfortunately, either concrete or something that will not move, that will provide a hard surface, both for wheelchairs and walkers, as well as people with mobility problems, with visual impairment, because there may be a problem with depth perception, and they may not be able to see, such as the bricks underneath the arbor there, that the bricks go up and down and up and down, and they may not be able to see that. They may be able to feel it with their feet as they're walking, but that may be too late. So they need a firm surface and one that they can count on, or, you know, carrying sticks with them. If there are stairs in your garden, think about handrails, because I'm not as firm on my feet as I used to be. So now I'm thinking about handrails and my steps. Containers, if you're going to do container gardening, 8 to 10 inches is a good size. Taller than wide, lightweight, and self-watering, so you don't have to pick them up and move them. There are lifting accessories to help you move pots, but if you have a big pot like this, you're not going to be moving that thing. It's pretty much permanent.
What was the ideal size for a pot?
8 to 10 inches. Taller rather than wider. And that's because you can move that. Because if you've noticed, you know, dry dirt weighs less than wet dirt. In some cases, a lot less. And think about vertical gardening window boxes at the eye level, raised gardening, which you can see an example of over here. And as I said before, make sure your beds are not more than 3 feet across. That way you can reach into them and take care of them. You won't be really stretching yourself. You should be able to comfortably reach in that direction.
Sharon, on your raised beds, do you recommend like a sitting platform, or do you have anything on the raised beds to help you maneuver, sit on them or anything?
I don't.
Okay.
I know that some places do.
But is it an obstruction sometimes with...
Yeah, it can be an obstruction if people can't see them. And you need to keep your pathways at least 3 feet wide, because you need to think about wheelchairs.
Right.
You know, so I'm thinking commercial gardens now, not private gardens. But you need to think about if you put, say, a bench along that raised bed so that you can sit and work on it, make sure that there's room between the two beds. Might be really tight.
We have pavers over there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you? I'm sorry. I didn't, anyways, she was over helping me, and mm-hmm. I didn't realize until we're over there talking and walking that the pavers are not a great idea.
Yeah.
Because they were, you know, they get moved, they get unbalanced, and
you get animals burrowing underneath them and moving them and altering their levels and things. Yeah, and that's something else you should check. Every couple of years, take a look and see what you can do to make them more level, because you're concerned with the visitors to your house as well as yourself. It's your safety. You want to be able to stay in your house as long as you can. You don't want to create problems for yourself by tripping, falling, hurting yourself, and then, you know, things just kind of roll downhill and get bigger and bigger and worse than this.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I have handouts up here on all of this. There are two really good sites. One is out of UC Davis called California Agribility, and it's both for farms and gardens. And in this case, it was safety tips for working out in the various seasons. And there's one out of UC Berkeley. It's called Be Well at Book at Work, and it's ergonomic tips for home gardeners. But there's also out of Washington, and I've just forgot the other state, that has some really good ergonomic gardening ideas. Gardening for all ages. And if you do a search just on that, you'll get all kinds of ideas, and they'll suggest tools where you can get the tools. Or if you do a search on Tony Gattone, Gattone, and her first name is Toni. She has a lot of these tools and tips as well, because she has severe back problems, so she's thinking about what will work for her. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. I'm Linda Reevely. Thank you for being with us. If you would like to contact us for more information, remember you can contact our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912, or you can look us up on the kaad-lp.org website. Look for Over the Garden Gate. Thank you.